Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on You Better You Bet, the first ever nightly sports betting podcast. And it is, of course, a Radio.com Sports original with Ken Barkley, a.k.a. Lockie Lockerson on Twitter. I'm Eli Herskovich. It's time to bring on one of our favorite reoccurring guests. I feel like I'm saying this just like Nick Costos would, but trying to get people in the mood, trying to bring on one of our favorite guys here on You Better You Bet, Jeff Davis at the underscore junkyard, the director of trading at Caesars Entertainment. Jeff, I feel like you agreed to come on because you thought it would be Nick and Ken, Nick and Joe, and now it's me, and now you're probably very upset.
No, I enjoy coming on. You guys always make me laugh, so hey. Here I am, whoever the hosts are. Yeah, I'll just put up with you guys.
Awesome stuff, man. So, you know, I typically wouldn't open up with this game, but since Lockie and I were just talking about it, Iowa and Minnesota, Iowa laying 3 at home against the Golden Gophers, one of the hottest teams in the country, if not the hottest, in Minnesota. Obviously, case to be made with Ohio State and LSU as well, undefeated in that sense. What's your liability like on that game so far with Minnesota and Iowa?
It's our number one handle game of the week. Every time we're at 3, someone takes it. We go back to 2.5. We go to 2.5. Someone lays it, and we go back to 3. And we've been just kind of trading back and forth all week. The money keeps coming in both sides. We're very even to the game. We need Iowa small, but that figures to change come Saturday. Looking at the ticket count, twice as many tickets on Minnesota. You know this is a spot where the public's going to say, you know, it's kind of like the SMU-Memphis game a couple weeks ago when SMU was undefeated and a six-point dog at Memphis. Everybody comes in and piles on the money line. That's going to be the case here. We're going to need Iowa to win the game. How much we're going to need it for, I'm not sure. I think a lot of the sharper money is going to end up laying the points with Iowa. But as of right now, we'll probably be small Iowa fans.
So, Jeff, you just mentioned one of your, you know, your biggest handle game. I'm going to guess this might be a lopsided ticket count game eventually, maybe even on game day. A lot of people are talking about this Ohio State-Rutgers number as, like, comical and astronomical, and who would ever come to the window and bet Rutgers. Like, I'm just curious, I mean, have you seen any action, period? If so, kind of like what's the balance been like with Ohio State laying a billion to Rutgers?
We, you know, you said who's going to come to the window to bet Rutgers. A grand total of 2 folks have come to the window and bet Rutgers.
Brave people, Jeff. Received, brave people.
Yes, 27 grocery dollars on Rutgers currently. We're at Ohio State minus 52. We opened at minus 51. Taking a few bets, nothing too crazy on Ohio State. Generally speaking, these games north of 7 touchdowns do very little handle because no one wants to lay the wood and have to sweat out whether or not they're going to cover at the end. And frankly, no one wants to bet Rutgers. So outside of your obscure Sun Belt games, this will probably be one of the lowest handle games of the day.
Another big game on the college football card is Auburn-Georgia opening up at Georgia minus 3 on the road right now at 2.5. What's your action like on that game?
Tick count's about 2-1. Georgia, money's pretty heavy on Georgia, although when we went to 3 earlier today, somebody came in, had a few dime whack at Auburn plus 3. Kind of feels like a game, given how low the total is, given how both teams are kind of struggling in the passing game and play such good defense, sharper guys are going to find that there's a lot of value in the plus 3 here. I don't think, no matter how much public money comes in on Georgia, the line's going to get to like 3 flat and stay there. It would have to take someone, you know, a well-known winning player to come in and lay Georgia for it to get there. I don't think it's going to happen. I think a heavy 2.5 short 3 is probably a more realistic expectation of where this number ends up. And we are going to be big Auburn fans. The public loves backing Georgia. They saw, you know, they bet Auburn against LSU. They got the money, but they're just not, I don't know, something about them. They don't endear themselves to the public all that much. We will be Auburn fans probably quite large come game day on Saturday.
So, Jeff, I want to follow up on some of the heads because I think it's really interesting. And, you know, for our listeners that, and even, you know, myself and Eli, who are not, we're not in the sports book. We don't alter numbers as money comes in and everything. You referenced that, you know, Georgia Auburn, the side in relation to a game with a very low total. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between side and total? And like, I don't think people realize sometimes that like, maybe like as a total goes down, how much a team can beat another team by like also is impacted by that. Like, how, you know, how much do you manipulate one when the other changes and vice versa?
You have to be a little bit more careful around key numbers in games with lower totals. So, you know, you look at this game with 41. I mean, you know, 21-17, 24-20, somewhere in that general vicinity figures to be the final score based on the number. So a game like this doesn't figure to be play in the 30s or 40s. So less chances for two-point conversions. It just minimizes the variance. And when you get in a game that, you know, you find a total in the high 60s, low 70s, you know there's going to be a lot of touchdowns. You're going to have the kicker on the field a lot more, which causes missed extra points, which causes two-point conversions, and it kind of brings a little bit more randomness in it. And the higher the total goes, you know, the value of three diminishes ever so slightly. But again, in a lower total game that figures to be a real grinder, the three carries a ton of value.
How about the pretty much the last, you know, good marquee matchup on the college football card this weekend, Oklahoma and Baylor, that one opening up at 8.5. It's up to 10. Sooners laying 10 after, you know, not covering last week against Iowa State. And then you have an Iowa State team that's laying 7 at home against Texas. So the board's completely flipped around from what you would have thought. What kind of action are you guys getting on Baylor, Oklahoma?
Money and tickets are actually dead even on this one. You've got the people who want to back Oklahoma because of the high-profile offense and not believing in Baylor. And then you have the people, you know, kind of like the Minnesota game where, oh, this team's undefeated. How can they be this big of a dog? We opened the game Oklahoma minus 10. We took a respected bet plus 10 on Baylor, went to 9.5. That was on Monday. On Tuesday, we took a bet back minus 9.5 for a good size chunk. So we're back at 10. You know, I look around and I see what this number is elsewhere. 10's pretty solid. I don't see it going through 10. If it goes somewhere, it's probably maybe come back down to 9.5, but this one figures to get even, you know, the money figures to be kind of even. I don't think this number strays too far from where it is right now.
Jeff, well, I want to get to NFL too, but a question occurred to me just because, I mean, you're actually an odds maker and, you know, us kind of like gambling media people talk
bookmaker.
About setting fake
bookmaker.
Odds for things all the time. Yeah. Right.
Thank you, Eli. I'm more of a bookmaker than an odds maker, but hell. I'll
right. True. Okay. Fair point. Yeah. Fair point. I mean, you're a lot of things that Eli and I are not. Let's put it that way. So but there's a topic that's sort of been like the hot topic and, you know, college football discussion. The playoff show last night talked about it a ton. I'm just kind of curious, you know, if you put on a lines maker hat for a second, or even just kind of talk about from your vantage point running a book, what do you think the likelihood is that Alabama makes the playoff versus doesn't make the playoff as of right now?
You know, I've been pretty outspoken about this college football playoff ranking and how whatever they rank it Tuesday makes no rat's ass of a difference whatsoever, because whether Alabama is 1, 5, 10 or 100 today, it only matters what they are at the end of the season. Like if you look at Baylor, I don't know where they are in the rankings. I didn't even watch a show last night. I think they're below 10. If they win out and win the Big 12, they'll be in the top four and they'll be in the playoff. So it does, like, it makes no difference at all. It only matters what happens between now and then. I know a book out east put out Alabama 20-1 at open Monday morning, which was crazy. We hung 10 and we took a bet. So we're at 7 now. I know a lot of other places are at like 5.5, 6. And whether or not they make the playoff is going to be solely based on how much carnage there is. I mean, if Minnesota runs the table and beats Ohio State, and that's Ohio State's only loss, given Ohio State's resume, they're probably going to get in anyways as the fourth team with the SEC winner Clemson and then Minnesota. But what if Minnesota runs the table and Baylor runs the table? So there's so many permutations between now and then. To me, it's just not even worth thinking about. You put up a number that, you know, might get a little bit of an action, but isn't too far out to where you get killed to it and you hope for the best. It's just There's too much stuff left to be decided. And inevitably, these people are going to make a wacko decision anyways, unless there's, you know, one of those clear-cut situations, which there never is. So, again, it's just something that's not worth, you know, to quote our, you know, great post-game tirade rant, Jim Mora. I put this on Twitter yesterday or today. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to anyone.
Well, to quote the great Nick Costos, tomorrow night we have country bumpkin Freddie Kitchens going up against Mike Tomlin, who might be the coach of the year at this point with Pittsburgh's turnaround, going from 2-4 to now 5-4 and a shot to make the playoffs. The Browns are laying 2.5 at home, total of 41. It was down to 40 yesterday at some books. Jeff, what's the ticket count in this game versus the money for Steelers-Browns on Thursday Night Football?
Money's almost exactly even. Public is hammering Pittsburgh. Tickets almost 3-1. Also heavy on the money line. Seeing some money on the over. This is up from 40-41. I'm kind of leaning with the public here. I don't think Cleveland's any good, and I think Freddie has managed to take one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and Odell Beckham Jr., and basically turn him into, you know, he's non-existent. He's not a part of their offense. And, as a casual football fan who knows very little about X's and O's and could never design an offense, I know that Odell Beckham needs to get the ball thrown to him. And it seems like it's something that Freddie has an extreme aversion to, and I don't get it. And I'm not a big Mike Tomlin fan, but, man, he's better than Freddie. And Pittsburgh's got things rolling right now. And if I'm betting this game, I'm only taking the Steelers. I couldn't possibly lay points with the Browns.
Jeff, probably the marquee game on Sunday, or at least one of the several marquee games on Sunday, has to be Patriots at Eagles. Two teams that, I mean, people obviously enjoy betting on the Patriots because they cover more than every other team. But Eagles have also been a pretty popular team this year. Now they play each other. Patriots hanging out around 3.5 right now. What's the sort of liability like on that game? What action have you seen?
Absolute Patriot avalanche, as is almost always the case. Tickets about 6-1 on New England. Money's closer to 10. And, you know, I look at this New England team. Does anybody know if this New England team is good or not? They've pummeled every trash team they've played, and then they went out and played a good team and got run out of the building. So are they even good? Who knows? They have the best coach maybe ever, but they're facing a team that – Doug Peterson's one of the best coaches there is in the NFL as well. And the Eagles are so very inconsistent, and you don't know what you get from them week to week. But when they play their best, they're as good as anyone. And I just think this number's a bit high, and I think we're going to learn a lot more about New England this weekend. And I look at this time slot from a bookie's perspective. There are 3 1:00 Pacific games. We are going to need the Cardinals, the Bengals, and the Eagles, or in this case, against New England, for so much money that it's actually a little bit frightening and unnerving at this point.
So, Jeff, I want to follow up on something you said. You said tickets 6-1, money 10-1. You know, sort of a two-part question here with the Patriots then. How frequently are they like a huge decision for your book? And can you remember the last time that, you know, that type of ticket disparity was not the case with New England, however far back you have to go to remember that?
You know, you don't actually have to go too far back. The Ravens game, we needed the Ravens, but it turned out to be so much smaller than I expected. I mean, there was so much sharp money on Baltimore. And, you know, people love Lamar Jackson. As much as they like betting on the Patriots, when they're in a Sunday night or a Monday night situation, you always need the other side. And we didn't need it for that much. But as far as when I can go back and say we actually needed the Patriots for a substantial amount of money, I have no idea, because the, you know, unless you take a giant sharp bet, which you generally don't, I can't remember the last time. You know, maybe Tony Eason was quarterback. I don't know.
Nice. Good Tony Eason reference.
Nice name drop. I like it, Jeff. Yeah, looking at that. Right. Yeah, probably one, honestly. Yeah. You know, Joe always does a great job of asking you this question. Not that other people don't too, but Joe always brings it up. That's why it's in my head. And we brought this up with Cincinnati and Baltimore, speaking of the Ravens last week. Every bookmaker odds maker, yeah, that we had on last week, and not discrediting any of you guys, but it was a good point. We all bet the Bengals, too, that the Ravens were the most inflated line of that week at minus 10, minus 10 and a half, even with A.J. Green out. So looking at this week's board, what's the most inflated line to you?
You know, I look at this week's board, and I see numbers that are pretty damn good. I knew you were going to ask me this question, and I looked up and down the board, and I couldn't come up with a good answer. And that's how you know the board is good. And if I had to pick one, I'd probably say New England. Because the peak, like the Philly ceiling is as high as New England's ceiling or very close. And New England's range of competition has been the rubbish of the NFL and the Ravens. And each game they've kind of done what might be expected of them. So we have no idea if they're any good or not. So, you know, I'm probably going to bet the Eagles plus 3.5, and I'm going to wait. Maybe, you know, some of these public shops in town panic, take a bunch of Patriots money, and I can take plus 4. But, yeah, if I had to pick one, I think that number's a bit big.
No, Jeff,
one thing on the Patriots, Jeff. I feel like a lot of people are going to see this number and say, ooh, since 2003, I saw this trend come up on my timeline on Twitter earlier today that the Patriots are 47-9 straight up after a bye since 2003. You're right, though. This Patriots team is so – obviously, it's different, number one. But the offense, like, I understand DeSean Jackson is out for the rest of the season for the Eagles, but the Patriots don't have a deep threat. Like, what makes you think this offense is going to get better, especially if we're looking at one single game and if the Eagles can shut down Michelle or at least limit him? And yes, it's crazy to say make Tom Brady beat you, but the weapons, like, Tom Brady is limited in terms of offensive weapons.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. And, you know, we've taken a lot of sharp money under in this game. I think it opened 46. We're down to 44.5. So, you know, the sharp money agrees with you here, Eli. This game, I know the Patriots gave up a lot of points to the Ravens, and, you know, Lamar Jackson's something they hadn't seen yet. I think the Patriots defense, even though they played a lot of bad teams, is still very good. And, yeah, it's kind of going back to the Georgia-Auburn point. The 3.5, 4 range in these low total games, it just means so much. And again, if I can take 4 in this game, I'll run to the window.
So, Jeff, I want to ask you about Sunday night football, too, because we had a couple guests on yesterday, people from the gambling space who were basically like, this is the one game you could never, ever get me to bet on the board, with probably two teams that have lost people a ton of money this year in the Bears and Rams in a variety of situations. Rams hanging out around a touchdown favorite. Have you seen, you know, a lot of handle on this game? Are people staying away? What's kind of been, you know, what's happening in the market?
You know, looking at the tickets bet on this game, it's a middle of the road bet game. And as is the case every week, it's the Sunday night football game. It will be the biggest handle game of the day, because if people win on Sunday, they're going to bet bigger because, you know, they want to turn it into a score. And if people get killed on Sunday, they're going to get bet bigger because they want to get it back. So the Sunday night football game is always, always, always the most handle game. A little bit heavy money on the Bears, but nothing too out of control. We've taken some minus 6.5 and some plus 7. I look at this game, and the Rams seem to have a very – the big home road splits. It feels different to me. I haven't looked the stats up. I have nothing to back this up at all. It's just an eye test on what I feel. I feel like they're a much better home team than road team. I do worry about the Rams' offensive line and their inability to protect Goff. He sucks under pressure. He's not a good quarterback. That contract is going to kill the Rams for a long time. And, you know, I expect a real low scoring, you know, to the point of unwatchable football game. Will I watch it? Probably, because we're going to have a huge decision on it. But, you know, if I was just some Joe that didn't work in a sports book that lived in the middle of nowhere on Sunday night, there's no chance I'm watching this game. It's going to be terrible.
I feel like you could just not watch if you think it's going to be a crappy game and just celebrate all those Mitch Trubisky bets that you guys got over the offseason MVP bets, right? Who cares about the outcome of this?
Yeah, but those don't pay till later. That pays, you know, the Rams-Bears is going to pay Sunday night.
That's true.
You know, and the swing is so big on Sunday night because what, you know, what a lot of people don't realize, you need to have a decision on Sunday night, because if the game is bet evenly, you lose either way, because every parlay that was written that day goes into one of the sides. So you're going to, like, when you win, you're not going to win as much, and when you lose, you get killed because, you know, the parlay payouts. So, you know, you kind of need a side, and right now the game's not, there's not too much of a decision. And, you know, when this happens, I try to hope to figure out what the right side is throughout the course of the week by who's making the bets and kind of force a decision one way or another.
One last thing for you, Jeff, and again, thank you for your time as always. Shifting over to college basketball, I think Lockie made this remark about me. I think you liked it. You decided to critique me per usual. I know you like to critique me whenever you get a chance. Is when Lockie, I think it was opening night of college basketball, you said I'm probably like shirtless, have bet like 15 unders, and I'm obsessed with college basketball, right? One of those kind of things?
Yeah, something like that. You were like streaking naked through the newsroom.
There you go. That was it. So shifting away from that kind of absurdity that I'm pretty sure everyone wants to block out of their minds as I just said it. How have you guys adjusted to college basketball after 1 week? Like if we look at unders, for instance, I think unders have hit, I think it's plus 25 in game count so far where the under has hit over the first week plus in college basketball. So what kind of market adjustments have you guys made so far?
You know, it's not so much market adjustments as it is adjustments to the players playing the numbers. You know, we have a handful of guys that do very well early in the season. And, you know, when they make bets, you have to move the number, you know, a bit more than most people might think is normal, because you've got to flip the decision. You know, these people are going to win, and they're going to win a good chunk. So, you know, whatever the market does, it doesn't really, you know, my opinion of the market is thoroughly irrelevant, because whatever places far away decide the number is, that's the number, and that's the number you have to book to. So when winners play it, you know, us as bookmakers need to know where to go with a number to get your money on the right side to go in, you know, needing the right things. And ultimately, that's what it's about. It's not about whether you think the Wisconsin Green Bay total should be 162 or 159.
That is Jeff Davis at @_junkyard on Twitter, one of our favorite reoccurring guests, bookmaker, one of the best guys over in Vegas at Caesar's Palace. Jeff, I knew you talked about this with Joe a couple weeks ago, that you have some new establishments obviously opening up in Indiana. Anywhere else that you guys planning on opening up in the near future, or, you know, over the next year or so?
Yeah, we just, you know, I read an article that the governor finally signed the bill in North Carolina, Cherokee Resort. We're pretty much ready to go and staffed. So after all of the, you know, the legal BS goes through and you know, we can start, you know, doing whatever it is you have to do to get a book going. That's so far above my pay grade, I have no idea. But I figure we're probably 45 to 60 days out from being open in North Carolina. And I figure the college basketball action there is going to be incredible. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what the handle is like. I know that place is out in the middle of nowhere a little bit, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But the college basketball action in Indiana is incredible. So, you know, I can only imagine what North Carolina will be.
That's awesome, man. That's exciting stuff. That is Jeff Davis. Follow him on Twitter @_junkyard. Thanks, as always, for your time tonight, man.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, gentlemen, we'll see you soon.
Jeff Davis, and I like that. You know, I was surprised when we talked about Iowa, Minnesota on the back end, the last chunk here on You Better You Bet. You can find us on the Radio.com app. Download that today. And then we transition into Jeff Davis with Minnesota, Iowa, and that is his highest handle for college football this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I was – when he first said it, I felt like I was like, whoa, highest handle. And then the more I thought about it as he was giving his explanation, I was like, yeah, it's the perfect game to get a high handle on, because you have one side that's incredibly attractive to the public and one side that's incredibly attractive to sharps, and they're both going to just bet the shit out of it. So, like, in a way, it's like, of course, that's the perfect number, the perfect opportunity to just take in money on both sides,
right?
You know, go back and forth between 2.5 and 3 and just really, like, build up a giant handle on a game. It kind of does actually make sense the more I thought about it. But again, nothing surprising in terms of his explanation of the action, right? Like, you can look at the board, and again, like Nick and I talked about this yesterday, you just look at certain games and you just go, oh, well, the public's going to bet the shit out of that game, and sharp bettors are probably going to come in on the other side. Like, not even knowing anything, I could just look at the board for 5 seconds. I don't have to look at a, you know, bet breakdown and slips and ticket percentage and all that stuff. Like, yeah, that was just a really obvious one. So, you know, nice to hear him confirm that stuff was true. Also not totally surprised that Georgia is a really public side on Saturday. That is, again, same thing with Minnesota. That doesn't mean they're the wrong side. That's the side that's getting a lot of action.
Is that reactionary to you? You know, we talked about this with PJ Fleck being on ESPN yesterday during the college football playoff discussion and how a lot of people are going to bet Minnesota as a result, possibly come, you know, the next few days or so leading up to that game against Iowa. Is that reactionary to Georgia being number 4 in the college football playoff rankings?
It might be a little bit, could also be a reaction to everyone's kind of lasting memory of Georgia has now become the Florida game, where they were in a national TV game, where they took a ton of sharp money in the game. And I had Georgia also looked amazing. Were covering the whole way, ended up winning by 7, but like really looked great. I mean, they shut out, who they played, Missouri last week, I think, who Kelly Bryant wasn't playing the game. That was basically like a fake
27
game.
27 zip. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Missouri was never going to give you anything in that situation that could actually tell you whether Georgia was valuable or not. So, I mean, it's a very interesting game, you know, from a sort of like just a X's and O's kind of comparison standpoint, but not surprising to hear him say that Georgia's taking a little bit more money than Auburn. I am a little curious, like, I bet Georgia at 2.5 when it popped immediately because I knew I was going to bet Georgia in the game, was just hoping that a 2.5 would materialize, you know, that I didn't have to wait till game day or something. I don't think it's going to get any better than that. Like, I don't think this number is going to become like a pick or something. I don't think people think Auburn's that good. Something about having a freshman quarterback is really undesirable, I think, for public bettors that know that storyline. So, you know, again, that game, not super surprising. Little surprised Baylor, Oklahoma was as split as it was. Yeah. I understand it's a big number, so maybe people want to bet the underdog, but like little surprised, I think, that was as split as it was. What did you think?
Once you see that 10, I think it just pops. And listen, I'm not speaking to just the public. Not that I'm not a public bettor at times. I think we all are. You know, even if we're on Minnesota, for instance, might be, we'll see what that closing line is come Saturday before we talk about pros versus Joes for that game. But either way, we're all public bettors at times. We're all sharp bettors at times, depending on what side, if you want to parallel the two. Just looking at that game, though, and seeing that 10, seeing that plus 10 as a home dog, and Baylor having back-to-back letdown
undefeated
spots, they were able to survive last week, or, you know, over the last couple weeks with West Virginia and TCU, I like that spot even more, especially with an Oklahoma defense. Now, this might be a get-right spot for Oklahoma's defense at the same time, especially with Charlie Brewer and the way he's played over the last couple of weeks in regulation before that Baylor TCU game got to overtime. And then he went all senior quarterback or looking like a senior quarterback on us. I just like Baylor getting to 10, getting 2 possessions at home again with an Alex Grinch defense that is struggling right now. And what kind of quarterbacks has Oklahoma faced here? And we'll take a break before we dive into this game more, but what kind of quarterbacks has Oklahoma faced where they've struggled here over the last few weeks? It's been Iowa State, Brock Purdy, quarterbacks that can make plays outside of the pocket. Kansas State,
Ellinger,
Texas,
a few weeks ago.
Ellinger, yep. Exactly. And that was a backdoor cover. So you could totally see Baylor backdoor covering, even if this game isn't tight and down to the wire, which I think it could be. And Charlie Brewer covers this line at plus 10. So, yeah, man, I like it. And when I see that 10, it pops out to me even more, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to bet this game, but I'll tell you what does not look like a desirable side to me, Oklahoma. And it's so funny because I think Oklahoma has taken money every week this entire year and took money when this opened too, to the surprise of no one. You know, I think this opened 8, 8.5, went up to 10. There's something about this Oklahoma team, even more than the last 2 years, that I find very untrustworthy in some of these situations. And it's not like the defense wasn't terrible last year. It was. They were like 70th in yards per play allowed. So there was nothing particularly jaw-dropping about the defense being bad this year, even though it started a little bit better. Nick and I have talked about this on the show before. We both think Oklahoma is losing at least one more game the rest of the year, that this is just not you know, this is not an elite team. They're like that next level down. They can be beaten. Iowa State obviously proved that.